Cain's conduct upon being punished. Genesis 4, verse 13. And Cain said unto Jehovah, My punishment, iniquity, is greater than I can bear, than can be remitted. Here Moses seems to have fixed a cross for the grammarians and the rabbis, for they crucify this passage in various ways. Lyra recites the opinions of some who explain this passage affirmatively, considering it to mean that Cain said in his despair that his sin was greater than could be pardoned, and it is thus that we have rendered this expression of Cain. Augustine also retained this view of the passage, for he says, Thou liest, Cain, for the mercy of God is greater than the misery of all the sinners of the whole world put together. The rabbis, however, expound the passage as being a negative interrogation, making Cain to say, Is my iniquity greater than can be remitted? But if this rendering be the true one, Cain not only does not acknowledge his sin, but excuses it, and moreover insults God for laying upon him a punishment greater than he deserved. But it is just in this way that the rabbis almost everywhere corrupt the sense of the scriptures. Consequently, I begin to hate them, and I admonish all who read them, to read them with great caution and judgment. For although they did possess the knowledge of some things, by tradition as it were from the fathers, yet they corrupted them in various ways, and therefore they often deceived by those corruptions even Jerome himself. Nor did the poets of old ever so fill the world with their fables as the wicked Jews did the scriptures with their absurd opinions. A great labor, therefore, is thereby thrown in our way to get hold of the pure text and to clear it from their false opinions and comments. The cause of all this error is that some are grammarians only, but know nothing of the divine things concerned. That is, they are not divines also. Therefore, they are compelled to dream and to guess, and thereby to crucify both themselves and the scriptures. For how is it possible that such persons should be right judges of things which they do not understand? Now, the divine subject matter in the present passage is that Cain is accused in his own conscience, and no one, not only no wicked man, but not even the devil himself can endure this judgment of his own conscience, as James also witnesses, The devils also believe and tremble before God, James 2:19. And Peter also says, Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, cannot endure that judgment which the Lord will exercise upon blasphemers, 2 Peter 2:11. So also Manasseh, in his prayer, verses 4 and 5, confesses that all men tremble before the face of the Lord's anger. All these things, therefore, fully prove that there was not in Cain, under his judgment, enough spirit left to enable him to set himself against God and to expostulate with him. For God is an almighty adversary to contend with, and he always makes his first attack upon the heart and fastens his grip on the conscience. Now of this matter the rabbis know nothing, nor have any understanding of it whatever, and therefore they speak on this judgment of God as if it were a matter transacted before men, in judgment where a fact is either falsely denied or vainly excused before the judge. The judgment of God, however, is quite a different matter, for there, as Christ says, By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37. Cain, therefore, does acknowledge his sin in the present passage, but he does not grieve so much concerning his sin as concerning his punishment for it. Cain's words, therefore, are here to be understood affirmatively, and they show the horribleness of his despair. A further proof of Cain's entire despair is that he does not utter one word of reverence. He never mentions the name of God or of his father. His conscience is so confused and so overwhelmed with terror and despondency that he is not able to think of any hope of pardon. So the epistle to the Hebrews gives the same description of Esau, saying, Who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright? For ye know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for change of mind, though he sought it diligently with tears. Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17. Thus, in the present instance, Cain feels his punishment, but he grieves more for his punishment than for his sin, and all persons in like despair do just the same. The two original words of this passage again form two crosses for grammarians. Jerome translates the clause, "My iniquity is greater than can be pardoned." Sanctes, the grammarian of Pagnum, a man of no mean erudition and evidently a diligent scholar, renders the passage, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." But by such a rendering we shall make of Cain a martyr and of Abel a sinner. And concerning the original word, I have before observed that when it is applied to sin, it signifies to lift sin up or off on high, that is, to take it out of the way, just as we, by the use of a common figure, say, to remit sin, or the remission of sins, as we have it in Psalm 32, which, when rendered literally, means being made happy by having been relieved from crime or sin. We render it, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven," that is, whose sin is taken away, as we have it also again, "The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity," that is, shall be relieved from their crime or sin, Isaiah 33:24. The other original term grammarians derive from the verb which signifies to be afflicted, as in Zechariah, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee poor and afflicted," Zechariah 9:9. Our translation renders it meek, etc., as we find it also Psalm 132:10, "Lord, remember David and all his meekness," or lowliness, that is, all his afflictions. From this same original root is derived the expression "low estate" or lowliness of his handmaiden, used by the Virgin Mary in her song, Luke 1:48. It is the meaning of the original word which induces Sanctus to render it in the present passage punishment. But here the original signifies iniquity or sin, as it does also in many other passages of the Holy Scriptures, which appears more plainly from the verb to lift up or to lift off, which stands connected with it. Hence it is that grammarians, who are nothing more than grammarians, and who nothing of divine things, find their crosses in all such passages, and crucify not only the Scriptures, but themselves and their hearers. But in the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures, the subject, or divine matter, and sense are first to be determined, and when that appears, in all respects consistent with itself, then the grammatical propriety is to be explained. The rabbis, however, take a directly contrary course, and hence it grieves me much that divines and the Holy Fathers so frequently follow them.